Desmond. This is the Pacifica National Programming Committee, and the sound you hear is somebody's dryer. Anyway, this is August 29th, 2021, and this is National Programming Committee. My name is Nancy Saibar-Natitomi. I'm the chair, and I will call roll. Jack Devine from WBAI. Jack, I do not hear you. Who's next? Jose Gutierrez from KAOS. Jose, I do not hear you. Wally James from KPFT.
Here.
Wally is present. Thank you, Wally. Let's see. Thomas O'Rourke from WPFW.
Here.
Thomas? Thomas is here. Okay. All right. Lydia Ponce from KPFK.
Here.
Lydia Ponce is present. Ralph Pointer from WBAI. Ralph, I do not hear you. Okay, Lawrence Reyes from KPFK. Lawrence, I do not hear you. Nancy Saibar-Natitomi from KPFT, I'm here. Sharon Salam from WBAI. Sharon, I do not hear you. Frank Sterling from KPFA.
I'm here.
Frank is present. Harvey was. Oh, Harvey has resigned. Let's see. Somebody else I didn't call. Tom. Tom Borges from KPFA.
Tom is here.
Tom is present. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Wally, for helping. Yeah, and go safely wherever you're going and be safe. Okay, thank you. All right,
all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, did everyone get the agenda this morning? 11, no, I think it's 11:44 Eastern, was it? Anyway, did anybody not get the agenda? Okay, I assume you all got it. Okay, and the first thing, we've done roll call. All right, minutes. I'm sorry, the minutes of last meeting was not done yet, but I did listen to a lot. So all we did mainly was work on this one motion, which is the the local station programming committee for all five stations. We have only two that have programming committees, so this would bring all of us up to date. Are there any... I sent that out, and
I have a question, Nancy.
Yes, thank you, Thomas.
Nancy.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking at the reworked motion. It's partly in bold. It's partly, and I'm, you know, the way you send it, it has to sort of be reformatted every time I see it, because it looks like it's formatted for a cell phone screen. But I'm curious as to what all these, you've got brackets, scattered throughout with text and parentheses, and I don't, we'll just read it one more time before approving it, but if this is the result of your editorial changes, then maybe you can explain it as we go through it.
Okay, that's in a bracket, it means I cannot remember if we decided to keep it or not to keep it. So those brackets, please give me your input. And then anything with a parentheses around it may have decided to get rid of. But I do see by September 30th, we were not sure what. In December, by December, by December 30th, so, you know, I would like some input. So those brackets and parentheses, please give me your input. We're all here. Okay, let's start from the beginning. And Frank was not here at the last meeting. I hope, Frank, you had time to read this. We really need your input, too, because you were...
I'm looking at it now.
Oh, good, good. Okay. All right, I'll read it for the audience or the... whoever's listening, the programming, LSB Programming Committee should have, motion on the LSB Programming Committee. Whereas the primary product of a broadcast organization is its programming, and whereas the Pacifica Foundation bylaws expressly require each local station board, LSB, quote, and this is number G of their duties, A, B, C, D, F, G, and there's more, to work with station management to ensure that the station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. Be it resolved that Pacifica National Board PNB Programming Committee recommends to the PNB that it direct each local station board to, by September 30th, to establish an open LSB programming committee or conform its existing committee to provide oversight and assistance of the station's programming, including but not limited to and not in conflict with. Number one, how programming needs are determined. Number two, how shows programmers are selected. Number three, how programming agreements are made. Or it said what, so I'm thinking we can get rid of what, but I wanted to ask the group first. How shows are scheduled and preempted. Number five, how programmers are educated and supported. Number six, how program success is measured and evaluated. There was no and, so I just put and in there. Number seven, how listener feedback is obtained and shared via a survey or an email or snail mail and report to the membership. And I added, which shall be posted on the station's website and sent to the programmers. Let's see, how programming decisions are appealed, grieved, or challenged. How programs are moved, extended, lengthened, or removed. Okay, that's all right. And number 10, how, and then I think 2 is not necessary here. I decided to take 2 out, but I put it in parentheses to get the committee's input. The organizing and supporting of the integration of interns and volunteers, including reaching out to schools, as well as to the general public. And number 11, how, and I think we should remove to support, so I put it in parentheses, but I want the committee input on that, and then instead put how the visual and audio programming from the entire Pacifica network, and not used with expressions, for radio and or blind audience, with short captions and in several languages to include the deaf and the hard of hearing. I decided to add the hard of hearing because there are people that are not born deaf, just become deaf, and that's a lot of people, audience, and the international audience, and the organized volunteer translator teams. Number 12, how, and then not used to, how the organized and nurtured training program with training videos and expertise for visual and audio production. So not use the one in parentheses, organize and nurture a training. So that leaves the responsibility to the management and not to the committee. The committee is just to oversee. All right. Number 13, how the promotion, improvement, and creativity is better served by reporting to and exchanging information with programmers. Number 14, how programs are evaluated, organizing evaluations for recommendations to the PD. And 15, how is the liaison with social justice advocates and nonprofits for informative journalism, and shall require that the interim general manager attend and arrange the participation of the interim or program director at committee meetings that shall occur at least monthly. At least 2 board members shall be members of the committee through volunteering or elections. Here, I want to ask the committee if you want to keep elections in there and just leave volunteering, which is 2 or more board members, local station board members. As members' input is essential to programming, including non-LSB persons' input, any person who attends the inaugural meeting or subsequently attends 3 consecutive committee meetings and signs the attendance sheet at each in-person meeting or identifies himself or herself to the chair or secretary at each virtual meeting becomes a voting member at the beginning of the 3rd meeting. Anyone missing three consecutive committee meetings loses their membership at the end of that third meeting. I might add at the end as an afterthought, and if they wish to join again, they need to come to three consecutive meetings. Okay. And the last sentence is the public comment shall be welcome at each meeting and by announcement card. So, okay, going back to Thomas's question, let's go to the first one. It says that these committee meetings, LSC programming committees, need to be set up at the local stations by September 30th. How does the committee feel about this?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, yes.
There's just not enough time. What's the date? Today is the
29th.
So that means they have to put a card on the air and say, if you'd like to join the programming committee, they're going to meet on such and such date, and then where's the, you know, it's going to be posted on kpfdx.org. And then you have your first meeting, and then every month it should be announced on the air, and should be posted. All committees should be anyway. All right. It's at the very least, do you think September 30th is a good date, or we should prolong it more? But there was a discussion last time that, well, let's do January, but then there was a discussion saying it's going to be a whole new gang in December. And they're going to take time, the new people are going to take time to read the bylaws and understand them. And it took me a long time, it took me years and years to understand. We not have to keep looking. I'm still looking at them. I've had so many highlights on that hard copy of 2016, because that's the last time we had a hard
Nancy,
copy. Anyway, yes. Go ahead, Thomas.
I'm sort of surprised this is still in there, but I'm looking at the old resolution that we were editing last week. And see that it still was my copy says September 30th, but I thought we had agreed that December and when the new LSBs turn over, and that this motion has to go through, you know, the PNB and then down to the LSBs, and okay, we didn't agree,
LSBs.
But I thought we had, I thought there was sort of a an agreement among the people that were on the call that this date, as Franklin's just said, is I think it's too soon, given the fact that we're in election season and doing all these other things. That's
okay.
That's all
okay.
I'll say about it. All right.
Yeah. So somebody said, I think the first thing was written was January 2020. This is when we were working on this last year, okay? Well, we never got to the, you know, doing the nitty-gritty work until recently. And so the last meeting, I think it was one of the person in the public said, you know, by December of this year, it's a whole new people. And I don't want to repeat myself, but it takes time. It'll be a whole new PNB as well. So it's better to get it passed. Now we have a good PNB. We have people who understand on this committee what this is about. It took us all last year. It was just an agenda item we never got to last year. And finally, this year, we started working on it. So if September 30th, whatever you put, date, it's going to be delayed until that date. Believe me, most people wait till, you know, the deadline. So if we put October, it'll be October. If we put December, it'll be December. But let's not wait for December. It's too many new people. And this does not have to be passed by the LSB. This is a PMB approved or disapproved. You know, PMB will decide. And it will become the law of the land here for the LSBs. So it doesn't have to go to the LSB. Okay. You're not sure. Anybody want to say yes, keep it 30th or put September?
I don't know what you mean by there'll be new people, and that's an objection, honestly.
Yes, because December.
Obviously, the LSB start to turn over in December, or, you know, I believe we will recognize the results of the election in December, so that the new boards are in place by January 1st, correct?
No. The new boards will meet their first meeting in December. And they'll elect officers of the local station board in December. And then January...
Well, then why don't we say the middle of December or that these be established?
Public comment.
Okay, this is what... Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead, public.
All right.
Public?
Okay. Thank you. We have half the boards that are terming out in December, and half will be either new or returnees. But it takes months for folks to figure out what they're doing, and the further we push this down, the less likely it is that it will be in effect next year, even next year. Set up the committees. You don't have to be a member of the board to be part of the committee, so it's not as though people who are leaving or people who are coming in are barred from participation when these committees begin meeting. But we've got to begin somewhere. The PNB itself is meeting on September 2nd. KPFA's LSB only meets every other month. So they're going to meet on, I think it's the 18th of September. They would have this motion long before that and can act on it. The other LSBs usually meet every month. At some point, the boards locally and the national board have to take a position on how programming is going to happen. Right now, there are no guidelines, no rules, no control. Calling it arbitrary would be flattering. I mean, we just have to get it done. Thanks.
Yeah, Frank here.
Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, my mistake too, because I've been really confused with August and September. Yes, it's the 29th. It's the 30th coming up of August. So yes, September might be okay. But the LSB at KPFA has voted to only meet like bi-monthly. They're meeting the minimum requirements now. So it's like 2 months in between meetings. The next one, I had to check the schedule. Let's see. So I think we should just do it as soon as possible and just put the date of the 29th and get them going. You're correct that we can't keep pushing it down. So my mistake if I was confusing us, because I thought the 30th was tomorrow of September. But
oh, I see.
I'm still in August here.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting that. All right. So, yeah, that's my input. Yeah, the sooner the better, you know, with reasonable time. I got to check our LSB schedule to see when the KPFA LSB is meeting because I missed our last one.
Oh, the July meeting you missed?
Yeah, I think.
KPFA is having a special meeting. This is Michael Novick, chair of the board there. Yeah, we're having a special meeting on Wednesday, but it's just to look at our budget. Our next regular meeting is the third Sunday in September.
Oh, okay. But this will probably, third Sunday. Okay, because this will probably pass on the regular meeting of the PNB, which is September 2nd. If everything goes well and they like it and they vote to pass it, the earliest would be September 2nd. Then you could get your volunteers for the programming committee, your local programming committee. And you already have one there at KPFK, but this would have a lot of more oversight listed, like 15 things. Any other points, Michael, that you want to put?
I just got on, so I'm not clear. Let me take a look at the agenda.
Okay. Oh, okay. Did you get the agenda?
Michael, sorry, I'm at the I muted myself. I'm at the Chicago Auditorium. It's pretty noisy here, so I'll probably just be listening mostly.
Okay, I did send an agenda to all the LSBs. So around this morning, 11:44 Eastern, I sent to everybody, all the boards. Okay, anybody else? All right. So let's can we take a vote about September 30th, by September 30th, or ASAP, as soon as possible? Do we need to add that in case they missed the September 30th? Anybody want to input? Or just keep it by September 30th?
Just keep it.
Okay, I'm going to remove
these. Like that.
Okay, I'm going to remove those parentheses around September 30th, so that's kept. Okay, and the next place. Where'd it go? The next. All right. Now, let's see. This committee, this LSB programming committee, it will conform or conform to the existing committee, like at K and at PFW. They both have existing committees, to provide oversight and assistance of the station's programming, including but not limited to, and then you've got all these 15 things. And we had added not in conflict with, but is that bad? Somebody tell me, keep and not in conflict with, or just to take that out? So it seems like it's redundant, like we don't need that. Anybody have an opinion
here?
Well,
I did notice a redundancy between, I think it's number five, how programmers are educated and supported. I changed that to trained, but then you have a training in number 12, how organize and nurture a training program with training videos. You're directing that happen.
Okay, so let's just on number, what was it, five? Okay, let's scratch out education and then just put how they're supported. How about that? How programmers are supported instead of educated? But, you know, education continues even at the beginning, not just the beginning.
Well,
it should be. Our programmers are trained and supported.
Programmers are trained in, you know, board operations and whatever else. Is that?
Are trained in, are trained. You want me to put specifically in board operations and, or just trained? How programmers are trained and supported? Is that better instead of educated? Now we put board operations because you know what? At KPFT, which is unusual to the other stations, every programmer has to know how to do the board operations. Unless they have some other crew that does it. But I mean, everybody has to do the cooking and the serving, because we don't have paid board ops. I mean, so we have all volunteer board ops. But other stations, y'all don't have that. Or you do, maybe you have, but you've got paid board ops. And so that makes the programmer, if you have that ability to do the board ops, then you're independent. If something bad happens in that board op, it's not there whether you can do it yourself. Anyway, I think training in the board operations.
I think the word trained gets it. Gets
okay,
it.
All right. All right, let me go back to what I was going to ask you. And not in conflict with. Do we need this phrase? Okay, I'll read it. Let's see. The programming committee recommends to the PNB that it direct each local station board to, and I'll take out the parentheses, by September 30, to establish an open LSB programming committee or conform its existing committee to provide oversight and assistance of the station's programming, including but not limited to. Do we need but not in conflict with? No opinion? Anybody?
Including but not limited to. And, yeah, get rid of, you don't need in conflict.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had added that, and then I thought, I had added that. Okay. All right. I got it. Okay, but not limited to, and then number one, how programming needs are determined. Number two, how shows program. Stop me, anybody, if you want have to comment. Number two, how shows programmers are selected. Number three, here's we have to. How programming agreements are made. So, shall we get rid of the what? Is that okay? how programming agreements are made, or how or what programming agreements are made. Or
what do you mean by that? What is that? What are people going to interpret that to mean? Programming agreements.
This I don't understand, but I am, because Sharon is not here today. This is her motion.
Okay.
I'm thinking
it's not underwriting, is it a contract with the programmer or producer for a period of time?
That's my understanding, but I'm not sure since I missed a meeting. Frank here, sorry about that interruption, but when I hear it, that's what I think.
What's that, Frank?
What Tom said?
What kind of agreement you'd be making with a programmer saying that you would be doing this show 2 hours every weekday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Okay.
But I don't know, because I'm not sure what the person that promoted theirs idea, was thinking. Uh-huh. But when I read it, that's what I think.
Public
comment, please.
Okay, so I think, Frank, that you guys get like 9-week contracts for new programs or something like that, or it was happening at one point where a new program would come on for 9 weeks and sort of have to be renewed?
If so, that's not something I've ever been involved with at KPFA. I'm not part of the union, so I don't go to the union meetings. Maybe it's in the union meetings. That's something I've never heard of, but I've been just kind of stuck in, one place helping the apprenticeship program for 16 years. So I've been kind of like on Friday nights at 7 o'clock for that entire time.
Okay.
Although I have contributed to other shows and filled in on other shows, but I don't really know the negotiations behind the scenes at KPFA with programming agreements.
Okay, that may be an old... I've been around for a minute. That might be an old thing. But I know that, for example, at BAI in New York, when a new program or a trial program comes in, they're told you're on for X number of weeks, and, we'll see from there. I don't know if that applies to every new program. See, that's part of the problem. Nobody has an idea. Nobody has clear information about how things are being done, right? So some programmers come to the air for a 6-week trial. Some people come for a 9-week trial. I mean, the rules are all over the place. So I think there should be one, at least within a station, some sort of standard, and whatever it is should be known. Shouldn't be, a quiet deal between person X and the program director. The power imbalance there is obscene.
Thomas to the stand.
Go ahead, Thomas.
I support that those comments completely, and I think we're trying to get at that in terms of establishing standards. My recommendation would be how and what programming agreements are made might be the way we start to get at, and force force station management to show. I mean, if there's a standard agreement, maybe they have one in their pocket and maybe they use it occasionally or all the time. We don't know. So, that's why I support the comments made. But I would add that how and what programming agreements are made. And by the way, just in terms of language, we're saying programmers, and we do also mean producers, don't we? Is that sort of taken to be? Because I'll tell you the standard... The operation guides will use that language, programmers and producers.
How and what programming agreements exist? Are made?
Yeah, I mean, it gets to it.
Okay, all right. And producers, programmers and producers agreements? No, programming agreements. Well, this, we don't need the producers, right? So how shows programmers and producers are selected? And number two, do we need to add that, producers? Where do you want to add producers, Thomas?
I'm just saying that it exists. For the sake of concision and maybe it's fine the way it is, Nancy. You're right the first time.
Okay, number two, we could say house shows, programmers, and then /and/or producers are selected. Do you want me to put that there?
I think that's fair, Frank here.
Number two.
So,
who spoke?
Public.
Whoever
public.
That is.
Public comment.
Speak up a little louder, whoever you are.
Oh, it's the public comment woman.
Oh, public. Louder, please. Okay.
Okay. The good thing about using the term programmer is that it covers both the producer, who is seldom on the air, and the host, who is always on the air. So it was just a simple way, probably to cover everybody.
Yes, that's why I realized it. I agree with you. Okay.
Okay. Shall I put an asterisk on number two after the word programmers, and then at the bottom we say programmers also refer to include producers?
As simple as possible. Go with programmer.
Okay.
Thank
you for bringing this up, because if they ask me questions when I'm presenting this at the PMB, then I need to know. They might say that. Okay. Number three, how and what programming agreements are made? All right. Number four, how shows are scheduled. Go ahead, Thomas. Number four. How shows are scheduled and preempted. Number five. How programmers are trained and supported. Number six. Stop me now, anybody, if you want to talk about something. How program success is measured and evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to.
I like the and.
Okay. So I removed the brackets. Okay, and is in there, and evaluate. Number seven, how listener feedback is obtained and shared via survey, email, snail mail, and reported, it should be an ED, reported to the membership, which shall be posted on the station's website and sent to the programmers. I put this in, which shall be posted, because in the past we made lots of detailed surveys and we did not make a report or a summary. We didn't post it on the website for people to know and see what was the result of all that survey. So it made it. I think it was better if they have a way to be able to see what was saying. You don't have to post everything, because that would be like 70 different comments or something. But you can have a general so much percentage said like this, and so many percentage said they don't like fun drives, and so many. But some kind of report. What do you think? And reports to the membership, which shall be posted on the station's website and sent to the programmers. The bet? You want to add something else? Okay. All right, I'm going to remove the brackets then, unless y'all say no. And report to the membership, which shall be posted.
Nancy,
okay, go ahead, Thomas. Yes.
Just one comment that based on our experience in D.C., we've been asking management. There is an email listed on our website, info@wpfw.org. I think that's that. And we've been, that's where a listener can send in, a semi-anonymous comment, or at least to the station. We've been trying to get that information and have been told at various times, something about... preserving anonymity or preserving, privacy. And it's just kind of silly, but because we just want to get a sense of what the comments are. It is just an experience we have, and maybe this is you could make a statement in here, without disclosing personal information, that the summary of the comments would be, available to scrutiny, or the exact wording if they're removed from, say, the email address or the name associated with it. Am I clear?
Yes, yes, because at KPFT we had a programming comments at kpft.org, and they were funneled, and we never got a single one. And when I asked,
yeah, and I'm anticipating this that reaction.
Yeah.
You know, you've had the same experience we've had. Yeah. Okay.
I asked the webmaster, what's going on? We're not getting anything. And she said, oh, they're being funneled. Oh, ask the program director. I think he knows. We didn't get anything. So we will have, as a result of the governance committee, got a communications motion that these committees have a report. The LSBs have a report on the air, and they take callers' questions, listener questions, and comments. And in that LSB report, somebody from the programming committee can tell, we want your comments. Please send them to the LSB, or if you have an LSB listserv, or if you still are not getting anywhere, this is what we did. We actually bought a postal box, and we were telling people, send it to the postal box. We even told programmers, you have a complaint, send it to the postal box. And we didn't get too much mail. Did not. But, two people tipped in and they bought a postal box. But we're not given enough air announcement to be able to tell people. So it didn't work out well. Just nobody was sending anything. Does anybody have an idea that we put a... Oh, go ahead, somebody.
Okay, thanks. I do not think the language should mandate posting the information on the website. I think management controls the website. I think that is appropriate. I think that I can see someone starting a public campaign, Pacifica is XYZ or whatever it is, and starting that campaign with the intent, a derogatory intent towards Pacifica, which this language would then mandate be on the website. So I think that the board... the committee certainly has a right to get access to the information that listeners want to submit, but I don't think we should mandate that it be put on the website. These are interesting times in which we live.
Anybody else?
Frank here.
Go ahead, Frank.
I think that's a good idea, and maybe a way around it to kind of have a little bit of both is... I think what you said, Nancy, maybe a summary created by the whoever would be in charge of that, like the program director, the general manager, whoever they're going to put in charge, could make a short summary what could be posted, or like some findings, important findings, kind of like a general manager's report or a program director report that, you know, could be devoid of any sort of campaign against us, or, you know, noted that a small group of naysayers, you know, something like that. That could be a summary that doesn't have to post verbatim what everybody sends in. So that's just an idea. I can go either way. I'm not really, I think it should be in the end available at least to programmers and to staff. And maybe some guidance should be given on, like, what does this mean for your show, Frank? Well, this means that, you know, you might want to try this, or this means that this is happening. So I think using it as a tool to better ourselves is important. And maybe, like, the last person, I'm sorry, I think it was Maria, not sure, that, yeah, we are in some times, there could be, like, a group of people that organize themselves, knowing that our comments are posted, to just, you know, take whacks at us all the time. So yeah, I would be more for, you know, like a report out that could be posted on the website, you know, kind of broke down like what you were saying, Nancy. Some people said this, some people said that, but not really a verbatim of people's nasty comments. of course, we would want to promote the positive or the fairly critical. That's something that's critical to us and to our knowledge, but doesn't have to bash us or degrade us. Sometimes critical feedback for people is hard to take, but it's important if you're going to grow and, you know, see what others see in you from their point of view. If you don't ever hear it, it's like, I think my girlfriend uses a good analogy. If you order a steak rare and it comes out well done every time, but you never say nothing to the chef, he's just going to keep sending them. Well done. So that's kind of my thoughts. I could go either way. So that's it for me. Go ahead, everybody.
This is Lydia. I'm going to try something radical with everything that you just said and uplift it. However, add that we need to have a forum, be it a Zoom call where we can see each other's faces. And you said something that struck hard on my heart and heavy, and it is true of every circle and every activism work that I do, volunteer or paid otherwise, that when we get people coming up against us, we already know who and what that looks like. We've already experienced, you know, disharmony to bullying, to being doxxed, to being harassed. And never have I feared in my life, nor do I fear in my life. I'm American Indian Movement. I'm a rogue member that reports directly to the elders. And I'm going to say this. The radical part is to have a forum meeting of where people want to talk shit, basically, or try to get the point across, that we can have a mediation, a restorative justice on Zoom, just because nationally or within our states, respectively, we don't have a place to heal. We are not going to break bread and have ceremony anytime soon. So I could possibly put some kind of proposal together and present it to all of y'all and give it a little bit of not religious flair, because I believe, you know, everybody has a right to their own beliefs. I'm just going to say leaning more towards humanitarianism, leaning more towards what our community needs. And if we don't build that kind of foundation, whatever that looks like that we want to build, we're not going to do any better for the next generation. Because no one can afford to invest our time and our breath to argue with people who disagree with us. And I think that there has to be that bridge that's built. And I think that I would be willing and more happy to take that on. Not because I need to dictate what it is, but to propose it in the way in my cultural teachings and my elders have taught me to offer how we can get past this us and them and others when it's really we. We. We as humans need everything that we need to live a healthy life. Happiness, that's way personal, way deep. We can't take that on, but health is another. Healthy, we can all agree that we all need health. We need mending. We need healing.
Are you finished? Lydia? Hello, Lydia?
Yes.
Okay.
Thomas does that.
It kind of doesn't matter what we propose if we're always going to have somebody against us, or it's always going to be divided.
Well, consensus isn't always possible. I'll just start with that. But I want to get more to the specifics of this number seven, which is I think it's meant to make sure that listener feedback is shared with both the program committee and by its turn the LSB. and that is not occurring at our level, at our station. And Nancy, you've just vouched for the Houston station. So we're basically saying that the LSB and via the program committee needs to be able to see listener feedback. This the list of survey emails, snail mail, should probably just be gotten rid of and just said, you know, listener feedback should be made available to, you know, with precautions for privacy. You could throw it in as a way to argue in front, or what's the term to counter that perceived attack that has been used in, you know, in our station and others, I'm sure, by saying, you know, with precautions for privacy, listener feedback should be made available to the LSBs for their ability to assist with this programming, with these programming goals. Simple as that. And you're right. I think I agree with the, you know, it shouldn't go at the website. It should go to, you know, the LSB and the program committee, and eventually to programmers themselves. Some of it is, you know, would be germane, but many programmers don't want to be, you know, hear about other, you know, other shows or something like that. Maybe. But that's what we're trying to get at here in Clause 7, isn't it? That we have given access to listener feedback.
Well, anyway, that might be part B that I'm proposing. That would be A, and that's the most important. But B could be a forum where people can actually sit and visit with one another, because I don't know how trust is going to be built. There has been so many, you know, I'm going to see arrows pointed at so many different people, and, you know, so many different sides of this political, you know, this division. So I'm looking at it from the perspective of, yes, upholding everything you said and adding maybe B, holding forums where people can speak together, you know, on Zoom or be it, you know, webinar, whatever it needs to be, because I think that people would not only buy into that, but also know that, you know, there are still people who need snail mail. And if we're going to not get rid of snail mail, then there would be an avenue or possible, in-person, not in-person visits, you know, with all these other, technologies that we have, where people won't feel left out. You know, and the people that need to learn how to use these technologies, we might even want to hold a how-to specifically. I'm reaching out here to do something different. With all this that you're proposing, we need to also add solutions, well-thought-out solutions, because it is that, but we need to look to where we won't have to rewrite these or amend them a year from now, because we're not going anywhere fast. We're not going to be able to, you know, have a conference or any kind of big celebration of making it through, you know, for Pacifica or anything. I don't see we're going to be able to do any of that. So how do we rebuild trust with all these beautiful offerings of programming? How do we rebuild community is my perspective. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. I'd like to say something on staff. Our programming committee, which ended 2012 February, we were in charge of making a program survey. I mean, that was just what we were supposed to do. But it was done through Monkey Survey, and the management could see every single thing and give us whatever they wanted us to see, or what they didn't want us to see. They didn't have to show us. So we only got what we made the questions up. We submitted them, and then management sent it out on Monkey Survey. So management was keeping control of what. And then the results that we did get, we just put them in kind of lump sums, and then we gave a report, but it really should have been on the website. It was put up briefly on the website and then taken down. So do you want this committee, this LSB programming committee, to be in charge of making the survey and allowing people to write the programming committee with anonymous email. I mean, that would be mail tampering if anybody took the mail, but that's a way anonymous input could come. And you need to have a way anonymous input can come, like snail mail without a return address. Sometimes even programmers would like that, to put something in anonymously. Do you want us to go that far, that we, that the programming committee, that the LSB programming committee, handle, make a survey and be in charge of reporting?
Frank here.
Yes, Frank.
I thought in the past that the CABs were doing surveys. Is that true?
Yes, you're right. If they're working. Your CAB is not working, or KPFA.
Yeah, you're right about KPFA, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's not just KPFA. KPFT is working, and I think WBAI is, but they're not posting minutes, but the other stations are
Thomas
not.
Thomas to the side.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, I was going to say that we have, you know, a couple of town halls a year, and those are usually run by the LSB or an arm of the LSB. And among other things, they obviously, it's self-selected. The people that show up, are the ones that have a say. But we do survey that, and, you know, during the town halls and those kinds of things. And that's something the LSB directly does. Again, let me just repeat that I think that the clause that's supposed to, rather than assigning the program committees new roles, what we're asking for is to be privy to this information, the listener feedback, as a way to be, so that we're not attempting to guide, programming, all these things that we're asserting prior to number 7, how can we do this if we don't have, some feedback? And the problem is it's just not being shared. That's, As far as listener forums where they can have gripe sessions or let it all hang out, it sounds like a good idea, but I don't think we're trying to get that done in this motion. That's all I'll say.
Okay. So how listener feedback is obtained, this is what this committee is, LSB programming committee will be watching how listener feedback is obtained and shared via survey, email, snail mail, and the committee shall report to the membership the results.
Frank here.
Yes. Go ahead, Frank.
All right. I've been messing with it. I'm not an expert on language or writing, but I've got this kind of from everybody's input. It doesn't really address the reconciliation or the meeting, so I'm sorry about that. But I was kind of figuring something like how listener feedback is obtained via a survey, email, snail mail, or listener forums. This information will be shared and sent to the programmers, LSBs, and programming committees, and a summary reported to the membership via the website.
No, it has to be done live. A live report on the air, because then if you just do on website only, people who don't have smart devices, how are they going to find out? It has to be on the air, a report on the air, right?
Maybe we can get a a monthly LSB report out show, half hour or something.
Well, that's been ordered already by the PMB. That passed the earlier, it's called communications motion from the governance committee. Yeah, that passed, has not been enforced yet, but it did pass.
And then how about, and a summary reported to the membership via the website and local station, whatever that show is being called. What do you guys call that when we did that? Did we do that?
Nope. Local station board show in D.C.
Yeah, LSB.
This is Mike. Actually, I don't know about the other stations.
Michael?
That we're about to do.
Yeah, we're about to do our second one. We did one in July, and we're doing one on Tuesday after the LSD. So it's,
say again? It's, can you say louder, Michael? What?
I said that we had our first report to the listeners from the LSD in July. We're doing our second one on Tuesday for August.
Wonderful. Oh, what's wonderful.
What station, Michael?
Hey, hey. Well, that's good. VAI has been doing, the only one that's been doing, and WPFW. Those two W stations have been doing. Okay. Okay, so TNA have to get laddled. There's no reason why A cannot do it. I mean, y'all have air. You have live call-ins. T does not have anything live except the executions and Democracy Now. That's the only thing we do live. Okay. All right. Thomas, could you take over or somebody take over going through the number 8, and I'm going to rewrite 7 while y'all are discussing 8. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. I'll temporarily rewrite 7.
Okay, thank you.
Well, maybe Franklin can forward you what he wrote. But anyway, moving on. Number 8, how programming decisions are appealed, grieved, or challenged. How does everyone feel about that?
That one feels all right to me. This is Frank here. We had a lot of problems with stuff like this at KPFA with the shows being cut and stuff, and no real way to grieve or fight back if you're not a union member.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the case in, you know, unpaid staff. I've been told more than once, you know, they're suspended or that their show is canceled for, you know, various, you know, reasons that they are very often feel blindsided by. But, okay, this gets to, we're going to try to find out how these decisions are appealed, grieved, and challenged, but this particular clause doesn't make provisions for programmers to grieve, except where they already have those rights in place. Anyone else on that? Otherwise, we'll go to number 9.
Public comment.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think it's important to find out what exists before offering a, quote, remedy. So KPFA is interesting because it only takes 10 hours of work per year to be part of UPSO, so I don't know. UPSO is the unpaid staff unpaid staff organization, I think. So every unpaid person is a part of it, and if as a paid person you're not part of, I think it's CWA you guys have out there, that's interesting about what your status is, but that's for another day, I guess. I'm going to send Nancy the communications motion, by the way. I was working on it. I was working with it earlier today, so I have it handy, and I'll send that to everyone. I think that unpaid staff should have rights, and I know there's a producer rights item on this committee's agenda coming up at some point at a different meeting. So it can, you know, the issue of grievance or even questioning or appealing can be taken up then. But I think management should tell us just how they're handling it now or not handling it.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else? I would say this is Thomas, that we have the program committee under the PFW's LSB has submitted a new draft of a program or bill of rights that is being debated, you know, currently in the LSB. There are people that have spoken, you know, sort of questioning the amount of resources it may require, additional resources to comply with this, but in general, the draft, and I've shared it with the committee in the past, basically seeks to standardize things like, you know, initiation and And things that this is, I mean, it's you know, that this motion is addressing as well, including a grievance or a complaint and grievance procedure that is spelled out. And, you know, there's a 2 or 3 step procedure that's spelled out. And but you're right, whoever made that comment, we don't really know how how, you know, what's happening in any of the stations. My sense is that the WBAI unpaid staff organization has, you know, they had some kind of contract that seems to be basically in a state of suspended, you know, ignoring that somehow they're not able to get management's agreement in enforcing it. The comment about Berkeley having unpaid staff having an organization is new to me. It's does anyone have a copy of their you know, their agreement for Berkeley?
What agreement again? Sorry, I was kind of side.
Their written agreement here for unpaid staff. The public commenter just said, you know, 10 hours of programming is the, you know, in a year automatically makes you a member of this organization. Is there a, you know, a written description of it and what they have in terms of an understanding with management?
This is Frank here. As far as I know, the unpaid staff organization hasn't met or been recognized by the management at KPFA in some time, at least a year or two before the pandemic, maybe more. The unpaid staff
neglect, Franklin. Have there been some negative results for programmers that they have no backup or anything?
Definitely. I feel like, because I feel like in the times when unpaid programmer shows have been threatened or actually removed, the unpaid staff wasn't meeting regularly, the organization, to support and to organize. And also not being recognized by the station management or the union at KPFA, I mean, it's just a name and a title. It doesn't really do anything. You could have all the meetings and ideas that you want, but unless you're going to, like, do a unpaid programmer strike or, you know, withhold your free labor collectively, I mean, nothing's really going to happen. They're just going to move on and do what they do, because that's kind of just how it's been going.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Steve.
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Steve.
Yeah. I was going to say, basically, the management at KPFA has not done any evaluations, which is one of the responsibilities. There was a program council at one time that did evaluate programs, but there's been no evaluations. There's no discussion with the unpaid staff. The manager refuses to meet with the unpaid staff for years, along with the program director. So there's no communication. I mean, these are basic violations of the responsibilities of the manager, and they have to be held accountable. I mean, they're arrogant. It's corporate management, and that's what you have. Nepotism, you have cronyism, and that's what dominates the programming decisions at KPFA. So I support the proposals for change, but they ignore those. The management and the majority of the local station board. So it's an obstacle to making real changes as far as evaluation of programs and removal or addition of programs. It's all done unilaterally by the manager.
Thank you. And that's, you know, obviously, I mean, to combat that, you you're going to have to organize. The programmers are going to have to become organized and obviously more unified than they currently are. They've been sort of...
Well, they also shut down. There was an email list, unpaid email list, which was shut down by the management. They closed that down, so there's not even regular communication with all the unpaid staff. That was shut down by the management with the support of some of their management supporters and the unpaid staff. So that's a problem. So that has to be reestablished so that the programmers, the unpaid staff, actually are able to communicate and exchange information and that kind of thing. That should be organized.
I have a question.
Yeah.
An answer to the question.
Go ahead.
Did y'all change number 8? Did you add something? I didn't hear you add anything to number 8. How programming decisions are appealed, grieved, or challenged. And maybe we should put, and the committee shall make a report to the LSB. Of course, it's probably going to be an executive session, but make a report. Make a report of any, you know, this kind of sensitive programming issues.
You're saying to add that to number 8? Because I think we decided to leave it like that.
Oh, just leave it and not have the report. Okay. Because on number 7, what do you think? Number 7, we're going to make a report to the people through the LSB report, monthly LSB report show. It's supposed to be happening at every station. If it's not, then that's a point to bring up at your board meetings and a point to put on the evaluation of the GM if they're not doing it. But
Nancy, do you have the wording for 7?
Yes, I have it done. I'm going to send it right now to y'all, but I was going to ask you, number 8, do you want to put a little more pressure in it, like, and the committee shall make a report to the LSB about these things? Shows appealed, aggrieved, challenged about shows, you know, that were just taken off. So there's a discussion in the LSB.
What my comment about number 8 was, Nancy, is that the word grieved implies there is a procedure, and it's clear that there isn't. I wouldn't go further on that clause, but we do understand underneath it, the context is there a, you know, are there procedures, you know, for these things, and where they're not, you know, those will be holes in making wherever those stations that don't have them, and I guess it's system wide. You know, put a marching order or an agenda item for something in the near future. But as Steven said, you know, people are aware of, you know, rights as programmers and unionists. Very often, the one thing I've noticed is there seems to be no formal alliance between the paid staff programmers and the unpaid. There doesn't seem, you know, the union of the unpaid or the union of the paid staff under SAG. I don't know how they feel about it formally, but it doesn't sound like they're that interested in working with them. Is that a fair statement, especially in L.A. and Berkeley? Our station has a SAG contract, but it's only, I don't know, 4 or 5 people are part of the bargaining unit.
Well,
anyone?
I would like to say I they need a guild. You're not going to call it a union, call it a guild. They need some kind of, and then they have to have somebody that they trust, who's not afraid, to represent them and speak for them, and probably somebody who has no show to lose. That needs to start. Guild. At least call it a guild if you're not going to call it a union.
Good.